I want to call this weekend A Stubborn Illusion. So that's sort of the title of the series. And tonight, this lesson's called Out of This World. And there's a reason for those things, but we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to spend tomorrow afternoon talking about karma and reincarnation, because it's been a pretty hot topic, and it's something that keeps coming up in our circles. And if there's anything in any of you or anyone that's listening that can be shocked or upset or offended in some way, I can tell you my goal is to draw that out of you. Because if we can be offended or shocked or be upset in some way, it means that we're still just operating from our mind. It means we're still operating out of our projection of what we see. And I want to start out talking about...
That never happens to me.
And if you say it never happens to you, it means you're not listening. Just so you know. It means people aren't listening then. If it doesn't happen, then you're not listening to me. So, sorry.
Oh, that's the truth.
One of the most profound statements ever made in the world, ever, did not come from the Bible. And it didn't come from Jesus or Moses or a God. One of the most profound statements ever made was Buddha's definition of illusion.
Buddha.
It was so absolute and so shocking that it puts chills down your spine. When you just sit alone with it and listen to it without comment, without question, and just meditate on it, it doesn't make any sense. But it's so pure and so true and so absolute that it will change the whole perspective we have of the world. And he said, whatever can be seen, whatever can be heard, or whatever can be touched is unreal. Whatever you cling to as permanent is unreal. Whatever the mind can think is unreal. And when you listen to the quietness that comes with this statement, there's not a whole lot to say. Because it doesn't leave anything free from the grip of illusion. Whatever can be seen, heard, or touched is unreal. Whatever you cling to as permanent is unreal. Whatever the mind can think of is unreal. Here comes our friends. All right. Hello.
Hi, friends.
Good. We just sort of got started, so.
Cool. There's a chair for you. There's a chair for him. If you want to hello, Steve?
No.
Good? All right.
Good to see you guys.
Yay.
So guess what? Since I just started, we can start over.
Oh, okay.
And it's worth repeating.
It is.
Need to hear it three or four times.
Yeah, yeah, it's worth repeating. I think most of us have been touched by Christianity so much that when you hear the word Buddha, you're somewhat apprehensive.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about Buddha's definition of illusion. and how it affects us. And he said, whatever can be seen, heard, or touched is unreal. Whatever you cling to as permanent is unreal. Whatever the mind can think of is unreal. So once we get over the shock of that, if you could just sit with that statement for a while by yourself, I mean, it has to quiet you. There's really no response to that. That's why it's so true. That's why it's so absolute. And that's why it's so real. Now, these things have been mentioned, even in Christianity, when Jesus said, if you judge by the appearances, you're going to be deceived. Now, isn't that what Buddha's saying? And the whole basis of this ministry has been about judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Well, Christians think righteous judgment means they're good people. And so they judge righteously because of their filter. And so everybody's got an opinion about what's going on in the world, what's right and wrong. And if you've got any comment about what you don't like in the world, you're not understanding the statement. Because it says, whatever the mind can think of is unreal. And when we talked about the incorporeal universe, which I'm going to mention some of that a little bit later, it said the same thing. All of the sages of the Eastern mystics have said this. This isn't something new, but we're not really understanding it. And if you can begin to get a glimpse of this and have it calm you down and slow you down and make you pause for a little bit before you go out into this world, it will settle you down. And that's what I want to do. I want to shock you into being settled down and be at peace.
Oh.
Well, when you read this, there's nothing left. So he continues and says, once we get over our shock of the statement that everything we can perceive with the five senses is giving us the wrong signal. Now, it's a little simpler than that. This is such a broad, absolute statement that the mind wants to make it complicated. It wants to come up with buts and conditions and excuses for not accepting it. Right? And what I'm saying is, that's what absolute truth does. There's no response to it. There can be no response to it. So how do we expand on it and continue with it in a way that's simple? To me, it's when it ends everything, that makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? Now, when we talked about the incorporeal world, we said everything you perceive with your five senses is giving you the wrong signal. And why is that? Because the mind is continually deciding whether it's right or wrong all the time. See? It can't help it. That's its normal function. So he says when we get over our shock of this statement after it settled in with us for a while, he says that with the shift in consciousness, reality reveals itself. Not as something, not as a sensation, not even as a thought. Well, what are we talking about? This is the real you that begins to respond. The person in between the thoughts. The person in between the sensations. So when you're sitting there and you're being still, and there's nothing to say or nothing to do, guess what? That's the real you. Now, it's hard to talk about and say there's no you and turn around and say the word you all the time. But there's another you.
Yep.
And it's not the person that you own. It's not the person that you control. That's the illusion. So I have a lot of trouble with the non-duality teachers. When they started out, they had a really pure message, and they've ended up just doubling and tripling down on nothing. And in one sense, it's true, but there's more more of a clear answer about what that means. And we're going to talk about that a lot tonight and tomorrow. So what I'm saying is that we exchange a world of infinite projections for a single state of being. A freedom so complete that we no longer seek freedom. Because when we seek freedom, it's conditional. Yep. Our version of freedom has conditions to it. It means this, and it means that, and it means that. And it's all based on what we think is happening in the world. And we, the illusion's so big, we just haven't seen it. So the truth's been spoken before, and I'm quoting from some of my lessons on the incorporeal world. Whatever you experience in this world has no existence outside of your sense perception. And if you were to remove the five senses, for you, there would be no world.
Yeah.
And one of my examples with this is if I could wipe out your memory, so you had no history. If I could put a little puck on your neck, there was a movie we watched the other day that was really good, and it was Captain America, which is a woman. They put a little puck on her neck, and they were able to control her thoughts and her actions because of this little puck. Well, once they took that off, they couldn't control her anymore. Well, that puck is you thinking you can control something. There's nothing to control. But our senses all the time keep drawing us into this world. That's where we get all of these infinite projections from. All of us have a different projection of what we think the world is, and we all think we're right. And I heard somebody talking about being irresponsible with the world. Well, I flunked all that. When you begin to understand this, you have no desire to try to mess things up. You've messed them up so bad, you give up. There's no freedom in any of that at all. So until we realize we are not a separate human being floating through our perception of life, in this world of good and evil, we're still dreaming. We're spinning inside a cyclone of religious beliefs. Well, what's a religious belief? Any belief you've got about anything is a religious belief. Whatever concepts you want to come up is a religious belief. There's as many religious beliefs as there are people. And there's a real stubborn thing in here that's sort of the key that breaks us all down that we're working up to. But the dream is so fast with millions of projections that no one knows they're in it. It's so big and it feels so normal that nobody knows we're in it. And the first thing I realize when somebody says, well, I don't struggle with my ego or I'm not dreaming, is that's exactly where they're at. They're struggling with their ego and they're dreaming. Because until you recognize this to a place where it quiets you and shocks you like that initial statement does, you don't have a clue of what it means. Not a clue. Whatever can be seen, heard, or touched is unreal. Whatever can be thought is unreal. What does that leave? There's nothing left. Now, bingo, we can start to get somewhere. Now, if I could take everybody that's listening and put a chip on you that makes you understand this, it'd be real simple. But we've got to go in and unravel some things. Where does this come from? Why have we all bought into this dream? And everyone's perception of themselves, that you say to somebody they're dreaming, they reject it. But until you understand what the dream is, how could you even reject it? You can't deny nothing. What is it? What's going on? Why are we so connected to all of this? And here's part of the answer. Every person on this planet is in sleep inside the dream and doesn't know it. Why? Because you're not a projection of your body mind. Hello.
We heard you.
You're not a projection of your body mind. That lines up perfectly with this statement. You are not the body. You are not the mind. Now, if in this little puck I put on the side of your neck, I'm going to say the big key to the whole weekend, because I feel like I'm going to have to keep repeating it. But if I could put a little puck on your neck that absolutely made all this true, you would have absolutely no fear. If you knew without a doubt that you were not your body, there isn't a bullet big enough that could kill you. There isn't an illness worse enough to take you out. If you knew you were not a body, this is a big deal. So I have people, well, Mike, what's going to happen when I leave here? Am I going to have a body? And I said to this gal, I said, well, what difference does it make? Well, there's all, why? Because there's all this fear. I'm wanting to continue the continuity of my ego, which is my projection of my body mind. But what if you absolutely knew? What would I, if I placed you on this island and all your memory was gone, whatever anyone told you as of that moment would be gone. You'd have no reference. Well, we are not our memories. You are not your memory. When we leave, and I've talked about this, what is life? I said, when your toe quits wiggling, the first thing you're going to realize is there's no such thing as death. Sure. Well, what if you knew that now? What if you absolutely knew you weren't a body and a mind and there was no such thing as death? And you didn't question it. You'd have no fear. Now, there's a lot of people out there awful excited about their bodies. Okay, they're so excited about their bodies that they want to reincarnate.
Oh God, yeah.
Well, I can tell you right now, if I were to sit down unbeknownst to some of these people and talk with them a little bit, we've got what's called egocentric city here. People really think a lot about themselves, that the whole world's centered around them and their body. And it's the biggest lie there is. And it doesn't fit into anything I'm sharing with you. So we're in different planets. We're in different worlds. You are not your projection of your body-mind. Now, what's a projection of your body-mind? All the thoughts you've got about yourself and your life? I mean, our memory functions, but your memory always judges you. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. If the thing that's so resonating with all this is that everybody's body-mind disappears, well, I'm telling you, friend, if you don't understand this, you're screwed. Because there's more to it. There's more to real life, there's more to who you really are than this body-mind projection. And that's the big key to all of it. So no matter what would happen, no matter what news you would get, this thing will say, well, I have no worries. I'm not my body. I'm not my mind. So we better find out what you really are. Right? And you're not nothing. I'm sorry. All this stuff about nothingness coming out of nothing that some of these guys keep saying over and over again, they just don't have a real revelation of reality. I go just the other way. I say you're everything. I say you're the universe. I say the universe is inside you. Do you know that the size of an atom compared to your body is the same relationship as you are to the sun? An atom in your body is the same in vastness and volume as you are to the sun. What does that say? That which constitutes your body has no relativity to size. Compare yourself, your body, to the size of the sun. You have atoms inside you that have that same difference. It's amazing to me. It's a mystery.
Buster.
So I had a person ask me, does an illusion mean a thing is totally unreal or really just subject to change and therefore never real? And the answer is anything that can change, what Buddha said is anything you can perceive or anything that can change is not real. It's temporary. Joel says you are, Joel calls you an everywhere spirit. Joel Goldsmith. I sort of like that. You're an everywhere spirit. Your omnipresent, unconditional love. And I even have people saying, well, unconditional love is control. Well, their understanding of unconditional love has conditions.
Yeah.
If they can't grip themselves around that definition, unconditional means there are no rules. There aren't any rules. It's not, has, doesn't have anything to do with the emotions we call love. To the pure, all things are pure. Well, that just means you're no longer judging what you see. We're not going around trying to justify what's going on in the world. We've removed ourselves from the world. You got enough to deal with on your own without projecting everyone else's world into your kingdom. I deal with this and talk about this with my wife all the time. She struggles with it. You can't turn on the news and not get pulled in. You are an everywhere spirit, and until this settles down in you, you will be drawn back into what? A sense of mortality. That's an awful feeling,
mm-hmm.
The sense of mortality. There's a lot of fear around that. I've experienced that myself. My wife has experienced it herself. Close friends with me that are listening tonight have experienced that sense of mortality. It grips you with fear to think that the ego will be no more. And so what's it doing? It's trying to adjust and project and change its world all the time. Because when you look at the appearances, everything's out of control. You can't get a good story on the news anymore.
No.
It's all bad news, and there's at the end, you know, somebody saved a dog. You know, that's it. That's all they can get. Somebody saved a cat in a tree, or a dog got rescued, and that's the good news for tonight. But everything else is going to hell in a handbasket. So the world you experience is only in your five senses, and there is no other world. And so your world is never outside your five senses. That's exactly what Buddha said. And that's exactly what Joel said when he was talking about an incorporeal world. Your world is the only world that matters. Your neighbor's world is none of your business. I can tell you your world torments you, and you can deny it, but I know when you walk away from here and you're alone that it does. Well, it's your world. It's not mine. And I want to say something out there that isn't going to sound really nice and friendly, but I don't really give a crap if I offend someone's mind. I really don't care if I offend your mind. Your mind needs to be offended or it won't hear this. People get all sensitive and they think you're just not being loving and you're not being caring. Well, I say bullshit on all that. The thing you need the most is to get upset. So maybe there'll be some movement. Maybe there'll be a move into reality, which is beyond this world of appearances. We repeat the same mistakes again and again. We constantly respond to the same triggers. We react out of habit of what's known. And it's done without realizing it. Well, once you start to realize it a little bit, which is the time when I was going down the escalating stairway, and I realized I was judging the hell out of everything. This was 10 years ago when this started. And I've had to learn some lessons since then. I'm not saying I ever get caught off guard, but I know the difference now. I know when to tell Nevins to shut the hell up. Because he's my only problem. What you see here in front of you with this mind projecting onto this body is my only problem. And we want to take everybody else's problem and make it our own, and then we call it our world. And that's why we go around judging people. But any projection you've got towards someone else that you don't like about someone else, I guarantee you, you do the same thing. I'll guarantee you, you've done the same thing, and you just forgot. You just forgot. You're still in the world of right and wrong. It's your projection. It's your problem. So, how do you know you're progressing in the right way? Well, it's only when we're no longer affected by what takes place in the world that we can begin the journey out of this world. And we are here for a reason. There's no question about it. And I know that doesn't line up with non-duality, but I'm quoting from non-duality speakers in some of their beginning books. Because what I do, and I've read all of them. I've got all their books. I've read all of them more than once. And I'll take the first book and the last book and see if I find continuity. And if I find continuity there, then I know probably most of their writings are pretty consistent. But if I see a lot of discrepancy and a lot of inconsistencies, I know there's a problem. And so probably the father of non-duality wrote a book. And I find that his first work was the most pure. And I'm quoting from him. So, when we double down on this nothingness, you're nothing coming from nothing. It reminds me of that song. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. But you got to have something if you want to be with me. Well, guess what? What is that something? That something is timeless. It's spaceless. It's effortless. It's spontaneous. And it's eternal. And that's what you are. I'm really getting sick of everybody saying nothing, nothing, nothing. It just becomes just a big denial of reality. And there's a fine line between what I'm talking about, that the problem is in understanding who you really are. I understand that. I understand what they're trying to do. But once the ego explodes and you know the difference, it's the end of the story. So, when we talk about Buddha's statement, you sort of feel like you're naked and alone. You know? And that's a good feeling to have for a while, but I want to help us get out of the fog and into the other side of this. it has to do with the perception of what we really are. And we're going to talk about this a lot tonight and tomorrow. And I've given you a hint already. But I would say I don't see out there when I look at people's Facebook walls, and I don't read a lot of people's Facebook walls. That if we get upset and offended by what's going on in the world, we aren't understanding reality. If we're upset about anything, I don't care what it is. You're living in the dream. You're dreaming. You don't know who you are. If any news you've gotten has upset you in any way, I'll guarantee you it's about your body going through your mind. So bingo. What are we talking about again? It all keeps coming back to this body-mind issue, doesn't it?
Ego.
So there's a profound inner transformation that can only take place when we realize the world is no more. And that includes you in the world. Now, to me, that's enough of nothing. That's enough. Let's stop there. We don't need to get more nothing than that. Do we? If you're not a body, mind in the world, that's pretty much nothing. Isn't it? So now, what are you? Well, you're obviously beyond that. You're obviously outside of that perception, which to me has no limitations at all. It's free. It means we no longer get an idea of who and what we are through what's going on in the world. And there's some wonderful news about that that's just beautiful. And it's exciting to live in this spontaneous life where I know I have no control anymore. And I've stopped trying to control. Now, I mean, if a hammer... If a dog, a rabid dog, comes after me looking for my kneecap, I'm probably going to beat him with my stick, okay? So, hello. I mean, you know, what can I say? It's a reaction, right? But I know he can't kill me. Now, I have had rabies shots, so I can handle a bite from a rabid dog and survive, see? So there I'm chicken, aren't I? Huh? I woke up one morning, a bat was crawling on me. And anyways, we're not going to go into that story. I've told it already. But when we stop looking for change to come in a corporeal world, we begin to see what has been the great stumbling stone of the masses. And what is that? See, the world out there is an illusion. It's our judgment of whether it's right or wrong that's the illusion. It's our opinion about what we like or don't like about anybody or anything that's the illusion. That is the core of the illusion. That's the heart of the illusion. And what's left, all of that, you're standing there after it's all done, you're still there. Well, who is that? It's not nothing. It's something, and it's wonderful, it's beautiful. It's bliss, it's joy. It cannot be affected. So when I say nothing's out of order, I'm not trying to dismiss what's going on in the world. I'm saying it's none of your business to judge what others are doing or not doing. It's none of your business. Remove yourself from the world out there and see where it leaves you. Just try it. Just see where it leaves you. I mean, maybe you have nothing to say for a month. Because all we've been doing is complaining about stuff. And I'm tired of it. You know, I'm just tired of it all. And the ones that are judging and complaining... Say I'm judging the judgers, But I just want, I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to help you see the dream. I'm just trying to help people come out of the dream of mortality. What if you really knew that you weren't mortal? What if you knew it while still in this body? That'd be like a secret weapon, wouldn't it? You'd be Captain America. You'd be Superman. You'd be Superwoman. Because whatever come to you, you know, couldn't harm you. Couldn't harm the real you. Now that sounds like freedom to me. Doesn't that sound just a little free?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Does there sound like a maybe just a maybe a peep squeak of freedom in there that we could get a hold of? Mm-hmm. And maybe it'd blow up on us. And we'd walk around this world not afraid.
I'm getting there.
I'm just telling you, I've experienced it. I wish I could, sometimes I could explain it better, and I wish people would be more open to it than what it appears to be. But all I got to do is just keep hitting the drum. I'm just going to keep hitting the drum. You know, a lot of what I'm sharing, I shared over 10 years ago. When I said, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Well, just judging righteous judgment means we just see everything without judging it. We see it as pure. We're not running around talking about what we don't like about somebody and justifying it in some way. I love Robert Adams. Now, the reason I love Robert Adams is he spent almost 13 years with the sages that understood this reality that I'm talking about. And I love his interpretation of it. And so we're going to move into a dialogue and some commentary of what he said and what I'm saying and a mixture of it. So I'm not really quoting him, but I'm just sharing some really nice nuggets of what he shared that really resonate with me and where I see continuity with what I'm sharing with you, just to try to bring more clarity to all this. He says the world that you're seeing, the world that you're observing, is simply your movie. It is a projection out from your mind. Now, where does this all come from? Well, it has to come from our history. Has to come from our memory. Because if our memory's gone, there's nothing to project, is there? Right?
Yeah.
If your memory's gone, do you really think you're your memory? Yeah? Does anybody think they're their memory? I don't think that's real hard to confess. I'm not my memory. I mean, what if I got Alzheimer's? Would I be gone? And I might not recognize you anymore, but I sure as hell wouldn't judge you anymore. Would I? And I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying there's something to it.
Yeah.
I know a young boy that's a pure vegetable, that's never said a clear word in his life. Is he not alive? I'm not going to say who it is. But a lot of us know who this person is. He's a vegetable. But you can see radiance and a smile and peace and love in this boy's heart. He can't communicate it, but it's all you see. Why? Well, there's no judgment. That's why. There's nothing to judge. He's never spoken a cross word in his life. He's never openly criticized anything in his life. Oh, wow, that sounds like a nice experience to me. So there's an awful lot to unravel. So the world you're seeing and observing is your movie. It's a projection from your mind. You show yourself a movie whenever you stare at the world. in all the things that you see. It's your personal judgment of what you see. It belongs to you and no one else. And it includes everything out there. It's your projection. You own it. Yes, that is an illusion. And that's what we're talking about. But the illusion is called our judgment of good and evil. There is nothing elusive about nature. I'm going to go around there and say, well, you damn tree, you're not real. You know, that's silly, isn't it? There's nothing elusive about nature, but it becomes a distorted dream when we start to judge it as right or wrong, good or evil. It just is what it is. And that's what spontaneous life is. It's just whatever it is in this moment. And there's no personal God up there following you around trying to judge you or torment you or punish you. That's why all this concept of God stuff has had to go out the window. There's no God watching you. Nobody's watching you. And karma's got many gods. I mean, if karma's really real, somebody's keeping track somewhere. Hello? Would somebody have to be keeping track somewhere of karma?
Yuck.
How foolish is that?
Pretty foolish.
Pretty foolish is right. Well, somebody just quoted, not too long ago on Facebook, a karma from your past life. If you don't deal with it right, it's going to affect your life now. That's the most condemning statement anyone could ever make. And doing it in a sense that like they're preaching at us. They weren't saying it about themselves. It was just a broad, big brush struck statement. It's the most asinine thing anyone could ever say. And if you believe in karma, you believe in reincarnation. There's no difference. And I'm jumping ahead to tomorrow afternoon. Okay? And if you're out there and I'm offending you by what I'm saying, it doesn't matter to me. Hello? I don't care. I really don't care. Okay? So if you're saying I'm being unkind and mean, thank you. I hope that I am, and I hope you get offended so much that maybe it snaps you out of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's way worse than any kind of Old Testament Christianity. To think somebody somewhere has to be keeping track. Well, the only body keeping track of anything is you and your mind.
Yep.
That's the only person doing it. And once you realize that, you'll snap out of all that baloney. Because that's what it is. And people don't realize it. They're so hung up on themselves and their body-mind that they can't get over themselves. So they're on a mission to conquer the world. To change the world. But if the world's an illusion, there's nothing you can change. If your projection of the world is an illusion, there's nothing you can change. Now listen, I remembered when I believed the devil was more omnipresent than God. Diane was with me. We were married. We were running around saying the devil did this and everything. And I'm telling you, every time you heard a screw creak or a door shut, you knew the devil was nearby. Well, what was projecting all that? This?
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it seemed real. I remember hitting my thumb with a hammer. Well, the devil's trying to get me. You know, he smashed my thumb. See, oh, I better do something right. I must not have done something right or my thumb wouldn't have got smashed. I mean, it hurt like hell. You know, whenever you lost your nail, that had to be the devil.
Yeah.
You know.
Been there.
So the idea is to become free, to become liberated. But how can you become free and liberated when the world affects you so much? When you're always scheming and planning and criticizing, becoming angry and reacting. How can you become free? You can't. Your mind is constantly spinning. So we become deeply involved in the situations of life as if they're going to last forever. We say things in a way like the world's ending. The only permanent thing about what's going on here, out here, is that it changes all the time. Okay? That's the only permanent thing you can count on, is that it's constantly changing. And nobody's got anything against you. It's not about you, okay? So get your little ego, blow that thing up, okay? Nothing ever stays the same. So why are we so intent on identifying with an external world? That's the big elephant in the room. Why? Why are we so intent on it? Because we think something's wrong. We think something's wrong with the world. Something's wrong with my body. Something's wrong with my life. Why is this happening to me? It's all about me, 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 me. There's no life in any of it. A wise person leaves the external world alone. They have very little to do with the external world. They realize that when they behold a situation, oh, this is Robert talking again, there's no reaction. There's no identification with it. We're not personalizing it. We're not turning it into a god or karma or anything else. Now what happens? When we start to associate ourselves with this and begin to understand it, you become non-hurtable. Nothing can harm you if you don't personalize it. Nothing can hurt you if you don't personalize it. You don't think, oh man, it's all about me. You know, what's wrong? Why is this happening?
Yeah, it's a challenge.
You cannot be hurt any longer by words, by deeds, or by anything. And that's why I say if I piss you off or offend you, you get upset. I'm so glad. Because I know I'm not talking to the real you. I'm talking to your mind. If you can be hurt in any way, by deeds or anything, it's because you still think you're a separate person trying to navigate in this world of right and wrong. That's why. Hello? Just raise your hand and quit. Just be honest with yourself. No one can do anything to hurt you. No one can do anything to you. The appearance may be that they can, but you should always hold in the deepest recesses of your heart that it's only a play. It's just an act. If you go through the play without reacting, you do not have to take on an acting job yourself, and you become free. I know this works. We had neighbors that have never liked us just because we bought property next to them. This went on almost 19 years ago. They lived behind us. And when we started putting our driveway in, they went crazy. Well, it's our property. But it was a feud that lasted about 2 years. I mean, they literally tried to run us over in our own yard once. When we were out there working on the driveway. And I remember one day sitting down with my wife, I'm sure she remembered, we were sitting up on here in the hill, and we held each other's hand and we said, we have to let all this go. We can't expect an apology from them. We can't expect anything from them. We just have to let it go. And guess what? All of it disappeared.
Now
isn't
we
that
wave.
Shocking?
We wave.
Now we just wave at them.
And they wave back.
Yeah, it took 10 years for them to wave back. Mm-hmm. But
letting go
helped. Yeah.
But see, we were no longer tormented.
Right.
And that's what I'm telling you about how we deal with this world. The cares of this world will choke out the truth. It's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
it'll choke out the reality of what I'm sharing with you that will set you free.
Yeah.
From what? From yourself. Mm-hmm. You're the only problem you got. It's your body, mind.
It's hard for us to swallow, but it's the truth.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll have everybody vote at the end and see if they're... I'll have a little quiz. No one can hurt you. No one can do anything to you. And no thing can do anything to you. Now you better, if you're worried, you better get in touch with what I'm saying. Hello? You better get in touch with this, because I'm telling you, it'll set you free. If we insist on reacting, it makes no difference what the situation is. You are reacting when you have preconceived ideas, when you believe something has to be done a certain way, when you believe people want to hurt you. Things are wrong somewhere. When you're always scheming and planning and you're not spontaneous, that's what acting is. Mm. If we're taking everything the way it is, the way it comes to us, with graciousness and thankfulness and joy, then there's no judgment in it. That's what spontaneous life is.
It really feels good to do that.
It does feel good.
Yeah.
Because all the judgment's out of it. We don't think that life's about us anymore. Mm-hmm. And guess what? God disappears.
Amen.
God disappears. Robert Adams said, God is your body. Now, doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
With what we're talking about?
Yeah.
That God has always been you projecting yourself onto the movie screen. That's the only God there's ever been. Is you judging the world for right or wrong? That's who God is. And when Robert said that to me one time on one of his recordings, I've listened to so much of the stuff, I'm sorry, I can't tell you which one it is. Listen to all of them and you'll hear it if you don't believe me. But a guy was all frustrated about stuff that was going on with his health and lost his wife and all this stuff. And he said, and he kept talking about God, God, and he goes, blah, 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 God's your body. He shut right up. He didn't know what to say to that. They shut me up. We worship our body mind. This is the ego. We worship it. And somebody said, well, the ego, the body, mind, your help me. Well, it's never helped me.
Me neither.
So these people just have never suffered very much to believe that baloney.
It's true.
Whenever we react, there's an equal reaction coming from somewhere. And it never ends. It keeps on going. It's collective and individual. This is what appears to be karma. But I can assure you it's all a dream. I've tested it. I've used these principles on certain aspects of what I believed. And all of a sudden the belief disappeared. I've never thought about the devil in 20 years. He's gone now. How could that happen? You know how many people believe there's a real devil?
Yeah, thousands and hundreds.
Once I quit believing in him, he stopped doing stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
I cut him off. Pigs in a parlor.
Yeah.
That's what the book's called.
Pigs in the parlor?
Pigs in the parlor. We were studying it like the Bible. Oh yeah, man, when we got that thing going, the pigs were running rampant. I mean, they were all over and all kinds of stuff, making piles of shit, running down hills, and you name it. You know, they were doing everything. We took every scripture there could be, and we were pinning it up on the fridge, and you name it. We did it all. That's something. Uh-huh. And once we stopped believing it, it all disappeared.
Yep.
Just as fast as it came. That same principle can apply to anything that's bothering you. Hmm. Anything.
That's...
Anything. That's what we're talking about. This is the illusion. See? I know it sounds like you're getting stripped down naked of everything, but this is the illusion. It's our projection of the world is the illusion. Nothing is as it appears to be, or it wouldn't change. The whole universe is a mirage on the screen of life. Everything is a mirage, including your body, your thoughts, and your feelings. They're all part of the dream. So we've got to find ourselves outside of those concepts. What's left after all that? That's who you are. Okay? So when I go as far as to say nothing really exists, I don't really blame you for getting irritated, okay? I understand. I was irritated too. When I read this statement, it still affects me. When I read what Buddha said, it still affects me. There's some little tinge in the back of my brain that somehow says, this is crazy. There's something there that says, I think this is sort of crazy. How could this be? But when we start to unravel it and understand what's behind it all, it makes even practical sense. Oh, it couldn't be simple, could it? Could it be simple?
Yes.
It needs to be simple. That's why all this talk about nothing and nothing and something's coming out of nothing is nothing. It's just, they might as well just shut up. Because it isn't helping anyone. Well, there's no one to help. Well, on the front side of it, that's true. The concept we have of ourselves cannot be helped. But you're not the body. You're not the mind. You're not your concept of yourself. So what are you? Well, something way more than that. And our puny little brains hasn't even grasped the vastness of the universe to understand that we're connected to all of it. And all this talk of nothingness, nothingness, nothingness just feels like you're not connected to anything. And it leaves you too empty. And we don't need to do that. It's simpler than that. It's way simpler. And I think Robert Adams has a good, what I like about the version of it. He says, so we're sitting here believing we're a body. Hello.
We heard you.
Trouble.
Come in.
Trouble.
We're sitting here believing we're a body. This is the heart of the illusion. Once we can deal with that in the right way, something comes out of it. What is it? Everything. Everything. Nothing can harm you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's, you don't take it personal anymore. Doesn't that sound enjoyable? Now, what is it that doesn't take it personal anymore? The real you.
Yep.
You know, it's easy just to mince words. You know, but I'll tell you what, when snot hits the fan, the non-duality people come talking to me and asking me for help. And what do? I just remind them that you're not a body, that you're not a mind, that you have no history, that you're not your memory. That at least gets us back to right now, doesn't it?
Yes.
Hello? Right now.
Yeah.
Is there any problem going on right now? Hello?
No.
Everybody's here, they're breathing. We aren't bringing out the paddles.
Yeah, the beginning.
Huh? Well, guess what? That's reality. This right here is reality.
Yep.
Right now. And guess what? We're here.
Yep.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, we're doing good.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Doing great.
This is it. All of this right here. There's a lot here. But you got to hang on to it loosely. Mm-hmm. And so what we really are is outside the body mind. So how many times have I told you, you're not a body, you're not the mind, you're not the doer?
Many, many thousands.
You're always identifying, but you're always identifying with yourselves as a body.
Yeah.
This is the key. Hello. Yes, you. You can point at me. Somebody want to point at me? Thank you. Raise your hand. The mirage is so strong. What's the mirage? Anybody know? What's the mirage? That you think you're a body.
Oh.
Hello. That's it. That's just one question for this test for the whole weekend. There's just one question. What's the mirage?
You think we're a body.
You think you're a body. You think you're a body. You think you're a mind. That's the answer to all of this. When you take a walk, what do? You think about yourself. Whatever you're doing, you're thinking about yourself. We don't know it. When we wake up and our feet hit the ground, we think we're our brain. I had a whole lesson on that not too long ago. Hello? When your feet hit the ground, what happens? Your mind starts thinking. You were doing pretty good till you woke up.
Yeah, I know.
Weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? The real you was sleeping. It was doing fine. It woke up and the mind started thinking. Get out the taps, you know. It's the first thing we should do is get out the little trumpet. Here we go, another day, judging the hell out of everything. Hello, hang on. You want to worry? You want to be afraid? Well, let it go. Keep following it around like a mad dog. We'll get lost sometimes when you're watching a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you forget about who you are.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But you're still there. Join the hell out of it. I love sci-fi. A real good movie, you go into the movie.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what we're doing when we're not doing that? We're creating our own movie that we enter into. And none of that is real.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
If you're frustrated or annoyed or upset about anything, it's coming from your own desire to be God.
Yep. I try to turn it off quite often.
Well, what you've got to do is recognize it.
Yeah, I do recognize it.
Don't take it personal. Stop reacting to it. That slows it right down. Somehow our ego thinks we're pure. The ego thinks it's pure, guys.
Yeah, we are.
Shh. Dang.
We're talking about the wrong pureness here. Huh? That's why it can be so confusing. This is why there's all this talk about karma and reincarnation. People think they're pretty good. So they want to come back and show they can get better.
Yeah.
Most of these people have got to get the rug pulled out from under them.
You pulled my rug.
Before they come out of
it. I'll never forget it. You already pulled my rug.
Leading a sort of a mediocre life, don't have many bad things happen in their life, so they seem to be satisfied. So they're searching for a better version of humanhood. Climbing up the ladder. Not realizing it's all an egocentric dream and a desire to be God. So, what's the key, guys? Hello, come on, somebody.
We're not the mind.
You are not the body.
Oh, we're not.
You're not the body.
You're not the mind.
No. if you didn't have a body, your mind wouldn't have anything to project itself on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I mean, I remember on Star Trek once, they had this great
movie,
and they went clear out into the universe where they thought they found God. And you know what it was? It was a big pink brain sitting on a pedestal, vibrating. You remember that one?
I remember that one.
I think we found God. Remember that one?
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. I can see George Carlin doing a routine on it right now. Ooh. Ooh. Well, he can't say nothing because he's so busy tracking everybody's ass. Can't get any words out of that because it's busy. He's sitting, he's busy at the computer keeping track of everybody's fucking karma. Whoops. Sorry.
Ooh, that
slipped out.
Well, you made your point, though.
Yeah, I made my point. But you can get a breath. But you can take a breath from all this. We learn to live with what is. We live in harmony with the way things are.
It actually feels pretty good.
And there should be countless names for joy in your life instead of the other way around. There should never, ever be any criticism of anyone at any level if you understand this. You should be able to realize this and catch yourself and say, wait, am I expressing joy or am I trying to correct my projection of the world? Is what I'm doing encouraging and promoting peace and joy, or am I just judging somebody else's sorry ass? You are the everywhere spirit. And until this settles down in you, you'll be drawn back into a sense of mortality. And that's what this is about. That's why we're here, is to escape the dream of mortality. Escape the dream of mortality. Okay, so tomorrow we'll talk about this a little more in a different way that I think you're going to like. And so thank you, everyone. Sorry we got started late, but we got everything out. We still got done on time. And thank everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.